Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Alternate Routes early and ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Kevin, a year ago, the Spurs won a giant prize, literally, because the very small ping pong balls bounced their way in the NBA draft lottery. And now Victor Wembanyama looks like he's going to be a superstar and a force in this league for years.
Lots of smart basketball people believe that he will be, by the time it's all said and done, the best first pick ever.
The problem for him is it's a long climb to even be the best number one overall pick for the Spurs, let alone the league, because as you know, in 1997, San Antonio defied the odds and won the lottery, literally and figuratively.
With the first pick in the 1997 NBA draft, the San Antonio Spurs select Tim Duncan from Wake Forest University.
They earned the rights to draft the big fundamental, and Duncan went on to be a force and a huge part of the five championships that the Spurs won, cementing that team as a dynasty.
Meanwhile, in the 96-97 season, the Boston Celtics had the NBA's worst record and two lottery picks, not one but two, and that gave them a 50% or better chance at landing Duncan. Rick Pitino was so convinced the Celtics could get Duncan that he left Kentucky, and he ended up in Boston for the chance to coach Timmy D.
Everybody, including Tim Duncan himself, thought he was going to be a Celtic. But think about what would have happened if those ping pong balls bounced the other way.
Would the Spurs ever win a championship, let alone build a dynasty under Greg Popovich?
Speaking of dynasties, would Duncan have led Boston back to the days of Larry Bird or even Bill Russell?
More importantly, who joins Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, and Tom Brady as the fourth Dunk Kings?
This is going to be a highly caffeinated episode.
From Wondery, I'm Kevin Frazier.
And I'm Trey Wingo, and this is Alternate Routes.
What you about to see next is a chain reaction. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, never see the action. Just keep it real. That's a butterfly effect for real.
Support for this show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of two, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here's how the show works. Each week, we'll bust open the sliding doors of a different iconic what-if moment in sports.
And then we'll follow every ripple effect and play out every woulda, coulda, shoulda scenario that you can think of. Today's big question is, what happens if Tim Duncan ended up with the Celtics instead of the Spurs? Coming out of college, Tim Duncan was the consensus player of the year at Wake Forest as a senior. He was dominant. The Spurs already had David Robinson, which seemed like a gift from the gods. The Admiral was rolling, but he was injured and missed all but six games that year. Greg Popovich had just taken over as Spurs head coach. Nobody really knew what he would do. There were a lot of question marks around him, and that Spurs team was good. That was Avery Johnson at the point guard. They had Sean Elliott. They had pieces, but they were missing one big piece. So, Trey, give me your first alternate route if the big fundamental landed in Boston.
So people remember where the Spurs were as a franchise. Like you say, they were good, but they weren't taken seriously. In fact, the most famous thing that people remembered was in 1994. They had fireworks inside when a water cannon went off.
It got ignited and triggered by the fireworks display. There are a lot of soggy nachos here in the Alamo Dome right now. This is the most asinine, ridiculous thing I've ever seen as a broadcaster.
Here's tip number one. Try not to use incendiary devices inside an enclosed building. It's just a thought we might want to just keep going forward. The Spurs, what I'm trying to say, we're not in the greatest of places at this moment in time.
Trey, we ran that highlight over and over and over again, right?
Just researching for this podcast, I looked it up and laughed for 30 seconds. Just that thing is just going off. People actually had umbrellas inside the Alamo Dome. I don't know what that was all about, but they were just trying to get out of the way of the cannons. It was an absolute disaster. So the point being, the Spurs were not this elite franchise that we would come to consider them as, right? So if they don't get Tim Duncan, I think the easiest first alternative route is the team that we know of that sees Popovich at that parade going 3, 4, 5. None of that happens. That's how important Tim Duncan was to that franchise, because Boston would take Duncan number one. And then what, Keith Van Horn, right? Keith Van Horn would probably go to the Spurs at two. And they're sort of in it in the middle of a pack. They'll make the playoffs. They'll make their revenue. They'll make their money, but they won't make their mark. And you mentioned David Robinson. I think Tim Duncan coming to San Antonio added 7 years to David Robinson's career. Because as you said, he missed so many games the year before with that back. What was that game where he got 71 points in the final game of the regular season to win the scoring title? He was basically the entire offense for the San Antonio Spurs. And if they don't get Duncan, that back's going to go out a lot faster than it actually did. Tim Duncan allowed David Robinson's career to go forward, and he became a complementary player to what Tim Duncan was. So then you have to take a look. Okay, let's take it one step further. If Duncan's not there, what happens to Greg Popovich? Greg Popovich is not only one of the greatest coaches in the history of the NBA now, but he's also a great spokesman for a lot of things that he cares about, and pisses a lot of people off because he lives in San Antonio, Texas, and he's a former military guy, and he's not afraid to call out some people on their BS. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He is not afraid to step on toes in any way, shape, or form. And the reason he's okay to step on toes and call out things he doesn't like is because he's earned that cachet. He's earned that right. He's earned people's respect with the way he's handled his business. All of that changes if Tim Duncan doesn't go to San Antonio and goes to Boston number one overall. And then the Spurs also, as a team, were one of the first teams to really, really integrate and rely on international players. Wemby's there now, right? But before that, it was Manu Ginobili. It was Tony Parker, the point guard out of France. So everything we know about this franchise literally ceases to exist. And the glory days of the San Antonio Spurs would not have been the five under Pop and everybody else and Kawhi Leonard. It would have been George Gervin was a really good player.
It's funny you say that, Trey, because the wear and tear on David Robinson would just be too much. He averaged, before that season when he got injured, he was averaging 25 points, 12 rebounds. That's before Tim Duncan came. By the time Duncan was established in his second year, Robinson was down to 16 points and 10 rebounds, and that was more than enough for that team, because with those pieces and with Duncan, they had more than enough. I go back and I'd say that Pop really instituted the ultimate in load management by sitting Robinson or resting him on the court once Tim Duncan got there. It really was. But also, you mentioned the championships they would have missed. The Knicks would have a championship. Think about that. That Allen Houston-led team that made it to the finals, they would have won in 99. That 03 championship, the Nets probably would have won that championship, unless Boston is dominating the East by that time with Tim Duncan. But either way, things would have changed drastically. Without a doubt, in 03, to get to the finals, they don't get past the Lakers without Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan was such an integral part and one of the greatest players in history, and people forget, and this is not to disparage in any way Keith Van Horn, who was a fantastic player and would have fit in really well, but Keith Van Horn was more of a scorer than a rebounder, and as they say, a fundamental big man, which Tim Duncan was. And that reliable jump shot and the way he could rebound and dominate changed everything for that Spurs franchise.
What's your first alternate route here?
It's the new Boston dynasty. It really eclipses what they had before, because everybody always questions. And a much smaller NBA back in the day when Red Auerbach and Bill Russell were running through the NBA, there weren't as many teams. Now it was very different, much more athletic teams on the West that were really, really good. This Boston team would be like a hot knife through butter in the East, I believe. And also, we have to remember, Rick Pitino at that time was a god. He was coming off of a Final Four appearance. He had been to three Final Fours. He had won a championship in Kentucky. He had restored one of the great franchises in college basketball history in Kentucky. They were down in the dirt. They were done.
Yeah.
And now, after restoring the luster in Kentucky, he was coming back to fix the Celtics. Let's not forget that Patino first came to fame when he put that team together at Providence that made the run in the NCAA tournament that captured America's, like, fancy. That changes the way we look at the Celtics and who they are and what they do. More importantly, Tim Duncan takes his place as one of the great players in Celtics history. There are so many numbers hanging in the rafters in Boston Garden. He is one of the most prominent numbers because you think of a lot of those players, and yes, they were great. They were really good. But there's only a handful of guys that are Boston icons. He would have been a Boston icon also because he fit in. He was quiet. He just wanted to do his job. He was all about business. He would come in, and it would change that Boston franchise. Because remember, next to him, he had a guy who was pretty loud and fun in Antoine Walker. His entire career would have been different if he had Tim Duncan there to clean up and do all that rebounding that he had to do eventually for most of his career.
One of the great commercials of all time, employee number 8, I make baskets, Antoine Walker. One of the best lines in a commercial. It would have made mass holes more insufferable. It was the run that the Patriots had that sort of got people understanding, oh my God, Boston is not just about suffering in sports anymore outside of the Celtics, right? And then you had the Bruins win the Stanley Cup, and you had that one Celtics pride. Then the Red Sox start winning World Series every other year. Now let's add on the Celtics winning 4, 5, 6. The term mass hole exists for a reason, okay? It exists for a very real reason. If they had all those championships, then it just would have amped up that, ugh! About the city of Boston even more.
I also have to wonder, what would that have meant for someone like Tom Brady, Affleck, Damon, Donnie Wahlberg, all those guys? They'd be sitting courtside. You'd have to listen to all those guys just yak, 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 yak. And what they would have meant to that scene in Boston Garden. The team just would have been so good. They would have played beautiful basketball. And Patino would not have to have pressed. If you remember the first season he got there, he decided he was going to play pressing basketball. And you're like, Rick, what are you doing? This is the NBA. You can't press people. And guys were like, we're dying. We're dying, literally. So it would have been a very different scene and a very different game that the Boston Celtics played.
I got another one here for you. Let's call this the Texas two-step. Let's say that he does go to Boston instead. They win the lottery. Well, what does that do for the Dallas Mavericks? Because it took forever for Dirk Nowitzki and the Mavs to finally get that ring. Well, how about this trio of Dirk Nowitzki, Steve Nash, and Michael Finley? They become the team in Texas that San Antonio became, right? Dallas and the Lakers vie for Western Conference supremacy, and suddenly what we're seeing out of Dallas is the same thing that we sort of saw out of San Antonio. Dallas refuses to trade away Nash to the Suns because of this. As a result, Nash remains the ultimate sidekick to Nowitzki, and they become the inside-outside game that, quite frankly, Stockton and Malone were. And they develop that. Shaq and Dirk both become multiple MVPs. Steve Nash never maybe becomes an MVP because he's feeding the big man inside Dirk Nowitzki. And Mike D'Antoni never finds a point guard for his system. Phoenix never becomes a threat. Say from 1999 to 2011, either the Lakers or the Mavericks reach the NBA Finals every year. And what does that do for Don Nelson? He remains their coach until how long? 2011 instead of everybody else that was there? And this may lead to him becoming the winningest coach in NBA history. So if Tim Duncan goes...
That's a scary thought.
Right? On a lot of levels. But if Tim Duncan goes to Boston, maybe all that greatness that we saw in the state of Texas just goes up I-35 about... 3 hours north from San Antonio to Dallas.
Would Steve Nash have developed into the MVP that he became if he had stayed in Dallas? We also know that he and Dirk were so tight and that it broke his heart when he left. They were broken-hearted when Steve Nash was dealt. And I think they were a little hurt and surprised that he would leave. They wanted to figure out a way to keep him there. All right, I got one for you. If Tim Duncan ends up in Boston, then the conspiracy theories start flying through the roof. The draft is clearly rigged because how else does he end up in Boston to save the franchise? You go all the way back to the first draft lottery with Patrick Ewing.
85, baby.
And everybody to this day, whether it was the envelopes were made cold for the Knicks to pick or the corner was bent, and everybody to this day thinks it's rigged because that's how Ewing ended up in New York. And by the way, thank God he ended up there because for years he lifted up that Knicks franchise and they became a marquee player in the NBA, and it raised what? The TV ratings, because we all were watching. So now imagine you haven't seen Boston for 2 years in the playoffs. You want to see them back in the playoffs. They're coming off the worst season in franchise history. 15 wins with ML Carr And I mean, there's only so many towels you can wave, ML, that will help to save your season. They need Tim Duncan in Boston. If he goes to Boston, the uproar is crazy. How in the world did LeBron get to Cleveland in 03? Some people say that AD was a gift in 2012 since they vetoed the Chris Paul trade. They missed out on all those bodies that would have come in that trade. Maybe this is, in a sense, a way to give back to the city of New Orleans. But meanwhile, you look at all of this and you say, could there have ever been a draft that was rigged?
We talked about Popovich's cachet. He was a guy that did it right, did it his way, and allowed him a lot of flexibility and leeway. And what is one of the things that he's most famous for outside of his outspoken things on social issues and winning championships is breaking the glass ceiling for gender for coaches. Becky Hammon was the one that sort of broke through that glass ceiling as a member of Popovich's staff. Does any of that happen if Tim Duncan doesn't help Greg Popovich win all those championships? We're seeing a lot of assistant coaches now in the NFL that are female. We're seeing a lot of referees and umpires in the NFL that are women. We're seeing referees in the NBA. Does any of that happen? Or are we still in a much more male-dominated society because Greg Popovich doesn't have the leeway and the freedom to do whatever it is he chooses because he's proven to be a successful championship-winning coach because Tim Duncan was the linchpin of that entire dynasty?
It's interesting that you say that because you think of Teaspoon, who is a genius, and we see what she has done basketball-wise and working with the players. Becky Hammon, who is oh so good at what she does, and we've seen it now that she's gone to the WNBA, and I think that she is the one woman who is prepared at this moment to coach an NBA team if you had to pick somebody. But you also have to take a look at how this affects the way we look at the women's game now. The NCAA tournament this year was looked at as there's a women's tournament, which is going to be really great. Oh, yeah, and there's the men. Everybody is looking forward to seeing Caitlin Clark, South Carolina, LSU. We now are seeing an equitable playing field where people understand that great basketball is great basketball. And you have to go back to people like Becky Hammon and thank Greg Popovich. And by the way, I owe Becky Hammon an apology because one of the All-Star Celebrity Games, on our team, it was me, Becky Hammon, and Mark McGrath, who used to be the singer for Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray, yeah.
We have the ball, down one with 8 seconds to go.
You didn't.
They say, give me the ball. And I say, okay, I'm going to take the ball. And they're like, create, kick it to Becky, find somebody open. I get trapped, and I panic, and I throw the ball to, of all people, Mark McGrath. Why in the hell did you throw it to the lead singer of Sugar Ray and not one of the greatest women players of all time? Just think about that. Becky Hammon, she's coming off of a couple seasons in Russia where she lit people up. And I instead throw it into the corner to Mark McGrath, who can't catch the ball, fumbles it out of bounds. We lose the Celebrity All-Star Game. She looked me dead in the face and was kind of like, what the fuck were you doing?
I guess the only good news in that scenario, you dribbled into a trap and you didn't call a timeout you didn't have.
When I think of Becky Hammon and how she has been able to relate to NBA players, but also when Popovich was out, she took over. There was no big deal. People were like, yes, this makes sense. He's out, she should be in. And I think that says so much about who she is and who he is and how they created a respect level and an understanding for how good she is.
He sort of made sure that she got her opportunity. All right, so those are all sort of plausible and interesting, but let's get maybe implausible and ridiculous. Give me your craziest take and your craziest alternate route if Tim Duncan had gone to the Celtics instead of the Spurs.
If Tim Duncan goes to the Celtics and not the Spurs, Antoine Walker is one of the wealthiest men in NBA history and still has all his money. Antoine blew through, and he has been very open about it, over $100 million between taxes and spending, his entourage that he had with him all the time. We would see him at Mohegan Sun rolling up at night with like 14 guys, and he was giving them all money so they could go gamble. We have been there. We've seen it. Antoine is a lovely person. Tim Duncan was very understated. Yeah. And now you inject him into this situation. And if you knew anything about that Spurs team that he joined, it was a bunch of nerdy dudes. They carried around their laptops. They were all about their business. They were about family. They were about going about the work and not the party. If you can name 5 times you saw Tim Duncan out kicking it in the streets, then that is 5 times more than I saw.
2002, 2003 NBA All-Star Game. We were both there. I think I saw Tim Duncan going into an elevator wearing jeans. That was it. That's all he did.
That's it. I think the focus would have been more on business with Patino there and Tim there, and also on investing instead of spending, because that was one of the things that that team would talk about. Avery Johnson has been very, very vocal about the fact that they were nerds, they invested, they talked to each other about family things, and they really just kept to themselves. If you bring Antoine down just a hair, he saved some of that money. If you say, Antoine, you can't have this big entourage around. And it also helps that Rick Pitino is there, someone he loves and trusts and has known him since he was a college kid. So everything changes for Antoine. He is in a very different place. And I think he is one of the great investors, restaurant owners, and he has a bunch of money in his back pocket. And he is not known as the guy who went broke, but he's more importantly known as one of the greatest players ever, who won an MVP and a couple of championships with Tim Duncan and now lives deliciously in Boston.
Yeah, you know who would really love that? Antoine Walker. He would really like that to be the case.
He would love that take.
Can we do that? Can we go back in time? We have the flux capacitor, right? We can do time travel now. Can we go back and get that stuff done?
Take me back.
There was a stretch, I think, where it seemed like every other movie for about a 10-year period was made in Boston. I blame all of this on Good Will Hunting, okay? Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, they were just kids. They swept the Oscars that year. They won for Best Picture, all this kind of stuff. They came out of nowhere. Everything was based out of Boston. So if Tim Duncan is there, and you have Duncan winning all these championships, and then you have Brady doing what he did with the Patriots, and the Red Sox winning theirs, that one Bruins Cup in there, suddenly it becomes even more annoying at how special of a place Boston becomes. And people are going to want to make all kind of movies there. And Tim Duncan is this sort of centerpiece who's, like you said, this shy, nerdy guy, but he's a draw. So eventually, one of the biggest Hoops fans we know is Adam Sandler. He's like, I have the perfect role for you. And Tim Duncan becomes the star in his Hollywood hit Uncut Gems. And suddenly, Tim Duncan, the big fundamental, becomes the big movie star. All of this because he got there, and all this Bostonian love that we saw for a 15-year period envelops him, and he becomes the next big thing on the screen outside of Boston.
There was a time where I was going to Boston. It felt like once a month because they were shooting movies there.
Yeah,
whether
exactly.
It was Kevin Hart and The Rock, or whether it was Mel Gibson doing The Edge of Darkness. I literally had to sit on a set all night long. I'm like, what time do I interview Mel? And they're like, right around midnight. I got there at 11. I interviewed him at 4. It was quite a night out standing outside.
4?
4 a.m. 4 a.m.
Oh, my God.
And look, that's how movies work. You show up at a certain time, and then hours later, you finally get to interview the folks. You're right. Boston became this hub of movies and the entertainment world, and it was sexy. Now, if you have Tim Duncan there, he pops up in all these movies, and what does he take away from Brady? And how does he help other Celtics become movie stars, too? Coming up, is Eva Longoria a winner or loser? We'll explain.
I think she's always a winner.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress, and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back. We just unpacked all the alternate realities. If Tim Duncan was a Celtic, and now we're going to get back to the real world. Trey, who were the big winners from Duncan actually going to the Spurs?
This is obvious and it's easy, but I think it's Duncan, and it's also the city of San Antonio, right? We had talked about it. George Gervin maybe had one of the greatest posters in the history of the NBA as the Iceman when he was sitting on the ice throne. That was about as good as it got for the San Antonio Spurs until Robinson, then Tim Duncan, then Popovich, and everybody else showed up. So obviously the big winner is San Antonio. And I got to say, I'm happy that San Antonio was a winner because my father was born in San Antonio, and I spent a lot of years as a kid going back and seeing San Antonio and not going to the Alamo Dome, but going to the actual Alamo, the great river walk down there. If you've ever been to a Final Four in San Antonio.
Best city for a Final Four.
I'm glad you said that because people are like, oh, what are you going to do in San Antonio? It's tiny, all that kind of stuff. It's actually a very cool town. A sporting event in San Antonio is really good because everything is right there. You go to a big city sometime where it's a sporting event, whether it's a finals in LA in the NBA or a Super Bowl in New York. No one seems to care. New Yorkers are just pissed off they can't get home faster.
I love the Riverwalk. There's an all-night restaurant where you can eat the best Mexican food I've ever had. Can I just say, since we're doing cities and locations, I think that my winner should be the Virgin Islands.
Applause.
When Tim Duncan was in college, all they talked about was the Virgin Islands, that he grew up in the Virgin Islands as a swimmer, and that now he's this great basketball player. And the Virgin Islands for years lived off of that fact that he was its greatest citizen ever. You can't buy that kind of promotion. And Tim Duncan just was the poster child for the Virgin Islands. Rick Fox, the Bahamas, Tim Duncan, the Virgin Islands.
I like that. I'm going to throw one more here that might not be so obvious, but Larry Bird's a winner here because they still haven't found the next Larry Bird in Boston. We talked about Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and Ray Allen, the big three. Jason Tatum has played well, but there's still no Larry Bird. If Tim Duncan goes to Boston, he's the next Larry Bird.
You're going to tell me that Jason Tatum is not going to one day.
One day, maybe. Not yet. Larry has the rings. Larry has the fight with Dr. J. Larry has the NBA three-pointer where he says, who's showing up for second?
Where he points up.
Points up off the money ball and said, y'all have fun. I just closed this thing. I do think that Larry Bird's legend continues to grow because Tim never got there.
I love that. Now, for every winner, there has to be a loser, right? Who were the big losers?
You have to look at Patrick Ewing. Now, I know he wasn't playing in the finals, but he was on that team. And that was the first championship that the Spurs won. Yeah. That was the labor year where they played a 50-game season. By the way, this allows me to get in one of the greatest lines in the history of SportsCenter. Shout out to Bill Pito, because Latrell Sprewell was on that team. And that was after
he
got traded when he choked P.J. Carlissimo. Bill Pito came up with one of the greatest lines of all time. New York is not a city that likes chokers, but that's exactly what they traded for. Bill. Just gold. Shout out to Bill Pito, who worked with me in Binghamton, New York together in 1988. We were starting our careers. So the point being that Ewing would have gotten his ring. And it's the one thing missing on his legacy. Like I said, had the national championship at Georgetown, is a Hall of Famer. So it would have been the ultimate capper on Patrick Ewing's NBA career if he had just been able to put a ring on it.
Back to Bill Pito for a second. When it would snow, or at least it would rain and the ice would freeze, Bill Pito would walk around the newsroom telling everybody, hey, be careful. That black ice is out there. Don't drive in the black ice. And Pito would walk across the street and stay in the hotel if there was any freezing rain or snow because he was worried about black ice. Watch out for the black ice, y'all.
Billy's a legend. You have another loser here?
My loser is Dallas and Dirk Nowitzki and Mark Cuban, because if Tim Duncan is not there and they don't have to go through Tim Duncan each and every year, but just a beat up David Robinson and whatever else they've cobbled together, it's a different situation. And Dirk Nowitzki maybe wins two or three championships because that team was that good. And when Michael Finley was there and they were cooking and they got the jet, they were a great team. But the Spurs were so damn good. It is much to Mark Cuban's chagrin, I think, even though he made a boatload of money when he sold that team. Boy, he would love some more rings. I have one more loser, and that is Eva Longoria. And let me tell you why. Eva Longoria is on Desperate Housewives, and She's one of the biggest stars in the world. And really, after you hit that level of stardom, then everything levels off and you're like, I gotta figure out a normal life. She was truly in love with Tony Parker. She fell in love with him. She was ready to have babies. She wanted to have a family, everything. They wanted to work things out. And then that whole cheating scandal happened. And I'll never forget sitting with Tony Parker's dad at the All-Star game. We were talking and I was like, does he understand what he just did? And his dad saying, nah, he doesn't. I was like, it's different when you cross over into the pop culture world. Eyes are on you like never before. Everything you do is monitored. And now you have people watching you who didn't even know who you were before you met Eva Longoria, because Desperate Housewives was the biggest show in the world for a while, and she was a massive star. And so I feel like she lost out because she wanted to have a family. But hey, that's the life of a professional athlete.
All right, so Kevin, what would we have missed if Tim Duncan ended up in Boston instead of San Antonio?
We would have missed those great finals in San Antonio. Traveling for 3 weeks following the NBA finals is one of the greatest things to do, but it's really great when you go to a city like San Antonio. It was a great experience, and I loved covering those guys. I loved covering David Robinson. I'll never forget Tony Parker bringing Thierry Henry down on the court next to the media at the time where he was one of the biggest stars in the world. The soccer player, the French forward, the guy who was tearing up the English Premier League, and no one knew who it was. And I was like, oh my God, one of the greatest athletes in the world. He's sitting on the court chilling with Tony Parker, and nobody knows it.
The other thing we would have missed is the great two-season run of the New Jersey Nets.
Kenyon Martin, my man Kenyon.
We had a researcher at ESPN named Sanford Appel, and he was a huge Nets fan. And even when they were at their peak and going to back-to-back NBA finals, he was like, this team is terrible. I'm like, Sanford, this team has always been terrible. They will always be terrible. This was their shining moment, and it still wasn't enough to crack a smile on your face. By the way, is it just me or does Sanford Appel sound like a great name for a furniture store? Sanford Appel Furniture, come on down. We'll throw in a bedstand with every mattress that you buy.
He was our researcher on NBA Tonight. He was great. It was so much fun because he was just one of those Nets fans that was never happy. And so even watching those finals games, he's like, we're going to lose. We're going to get killed. It doesn't matter. But what a great dude.
We would have missed those 2 years where maybe we could have put a smile on Sanford's face. We can see the past pretty well, but there's still some lingering questions that we can't answer yet. Kevin, what's the one thing in this that's got you stumped? What's the thing that you can't quite wrap your head around here?
How the hell didn't he end up in Boston?
Yeah, right.
Sometimes the NBA might work things in an interesting manner. How doesn't he land in Boston? It was so perfect with Patino, Antoine, and the other pieces that they had there. I am still to this day just blown away that Patino would have left a job on a whim like that. The perfect job that he could have kept forever. He could have retired there. And he was, at that time, considered one of the greatest coaches in history. Let me rewind, you guys. Don't forget, at that time, he was seen as Mr. Fix-It. He could go anywhere and fix it. And when he went to Louisville and fixed them, he was once again seen as Mr. Fix-It. Boston hurt his career. Going to Boston messed him up a little bit. I just don't understand. How the hell did this happen?
Here's a really weird one. What happens to Kawhi Leonard if he's not with Tim Duncan? Kawhi is known for the guy that saved Toronto, has the shot against the Sixers that rolls around the rim and goes in to win that series. The greatest laugh in the history of media day. Kawhi became a legend. Tim Duncan helped Kawhi Leonard become Kawhi Leonard. He was not this surefire prospect
at all.
I think playing with Tim, who was also a very quiet guy, was not showy, was not outspoken. I think that really helped Kawhi figure out, A, that it's okay to be that way, and two, I can be great by being that way. Does Kawhi Leonard become the player we now consider him if Tim Duncan isn't there to sort of usher him through those first years that really were formative? So there you have it, Tim Duncan. What would have happened if he went to Boston instead of going to the Spurs? And I think we've laid out some pretty plausible and ridiculous scenarios at the same time, and it's kind of what we do. Spurs fans, you can exhale now. He got there. The championships are real. But if you're listening now or watching on YouTube, let us know what we missed at Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. I'm at Wingos. He's at Kevin Frazier.
And send us all the biggest, wildest, most agonizing sports what-if questions that you would like us to cover on the show, and we'll throw them into the alternate routes machine for a future episode. We love this stuff and we have a lot of fun speculating, even though sometimes it's kind of crazy.
And we'll see you guys down the road on Alternate Routes. That's a butterfly effect. Yeah, nothing left to say. I gotta make it happen. What you about to see next is a chain reaction.
Shoulda, coulda, wouldas, never see the action. Just keep it real.
That's like butterfly effect for real.
Follow Alternate Routes on the Wondery app, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to every episode of Alternate Routes early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.